No, we're good. Good afternoon. I'm calling this meeting of the Committee on Taxes to order for April 19th, 2024. A quorum is present. The first item of business before us is to approve the minutes for April 18th, 2024. Vice Chair Norris, do I have a motion?
Chair Gomez, I move adoption of the minutes from the April 18th meeting.
Excellent. Vice Chair Norris has moved adoption of the April 18th minutes. Is there any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, no. Motion carries. The minutes for April 18th, 2024 are adopted. So today we're going to do markup and discussion and passage of House File 5247, the 2024 tax bill. We will also be hearing the education bill due to a couple of tax provisions that are being carried in that bill. So first up, I'm going to move that House File 5247 be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. We're going to, there's an author's amendment coded A8 in your packet. And I'm going to ask nonpartisan staff to walk through the author's amendment for us first. I have to move the DE amendment. Excuse me. Okay, because the author's amendment is to the DE. So I'm going to move the amendment coded A240302, which is the DE amendment to House File 5247. And then we're going to move on to the author's amendment coded A8. And we'll turn it over to nonpartisan staff for a walkthrough of the A8. Thank you.
Madam Chair and members, for the record, I'm Chris Klayman from the House Research Department. So looking at the A8 amendment that should be in your packets, I'm going to start with the first line of the amendment, which is line 1.3. So page 1, line 3, that change deletes language clarifying that the recipient of the set-aside under the beginning farmer credit is the taxpayer eligible for the credit. That credit goes to the sellers and lessors of agricultural property. Line 1, pages 4 through 6, that adds a language to the corporate disclosure provision relating to amended and adjusted returns and how those amended and adjusted returns are taken into consideration for purposes of determining the threshold for application of the disclosure provision.
Chair Gomez and members, for the record, I'm Sean Williams from House Research. Lines 1.7 to 1.12 of the amendment modify the eligibility requirements for the minimum child credit. And it specifies that taxpayers have to have income low enough to qualify for the credit in the previous year in order to be eligible for the minimum credit provision. Lines 1.13 to 1.14, that deletes language in the child credit section of the bill that's establishing the account to fund the child credit. That language is reinserted later in the amendment, but it's just moving that language from statute into an uncodified section.
Page 1, line 15 on the A8 amendment extends the due date for the corporate tax base erosion study to February 1st. Page 1, line 16 through 22, that provides an appropriation for the corporate franchise tax return disclosure provision. Lines 1.16, page 2, moving on to page 2, lines 1 through 4 on page 2, that just provides an appropriation for the corporate franchise tax base erosion study.
Madam Chair, lines 5 through 22 of page 2, just reinsert that uncodified section I described, establishing the child credit account in the special revenue fund. There's also some very minor technical changes that I'm happy to go through if the committee is interested in that section to how it is in the bill. Lines 2.23 to 3.20, those are just adding language establishing a filing requirement for taxpayers who receive the senior advanced property tax refund. That was already in the underlying bill, but this adds that language in Chapter 289A, which is where the filing requirements are coded in statute. 3.21 to 3.30 clarifies the year for which someone has to reach the age of either 62 or 65 to qualify as an eligible senior claimant. So the bill was silent on that or the amendment was silent on that as introduced. And this just clarifies that it's the property taxes payable year. Line 4.1 to 4.3 requires that the election to receive the advanced senior property tax refund be made by August 15th. Lines 4.4 to 4.8 of the amendment, that allows the Department of Revenue to impose penalties and interest if a claimant did not file their property tax, their return for the property tax refund in the year in which they received the advance payment amount. And I'm going to hand it over to my colleagues, Mr. Swanson and Ms. Hagler now.
Madam Chair, members, Jared Swanson with House Research. Continuing on through the author's amendment, page 4, lines 9 and 10, clarify that for the purposes of providing property tax abatements for affordable housing, which is a provision included in the underlying bill, area median income is the estimate that's provided by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Page 4, lines 11 through 30. Would expire the biannual report on the uses of local homeless prevention aid after the report on uses of the aid that was distributed in 2028 has been submitted. Page 4, line 31 adds the full name of the ownership entity of the Red Lake Nation College to the section of the bill that provides a property tax exemption for that property. And page 4, line 32 of the author's amendment would change from 2024 to 2025, the fiscal year of the appropriation for the refund of the taxes paid in 2021 and 22 for the Red Lake Nation College, and this is just to align how the payments would actually be paid out to the county from the Department of Revenue.
Madam Chair and members, Alex Hagler with House Research. Page 5, lines 1 through 5 rephrase the extension provided to the City of Ramsey's TIF district for their interfund loan resolutions. This is just a technical correction based on feedback that we got from the city's Public Finance Council. Lines 6 through 8 just provide a formal name for the City of Minnetonka's TIF district so that the provision is more specific. Line 9 on page 5 all the way through page 7, all the way through page 20, line 7, delete and reinsert the local tax article that contains the local sales tax reform bill that Chair Gomez carried. The major changes that were made were modifying the entity that approves the local taxes from the state auditor to the Department of Revenue. It modifies the definitions of and requirements for parks and trails to reflect more specific regional aspects identified in the DNR's Trails and Legacy Plan and that are also codified in Section 85.536. There's a modification to the contribution share that a political subdivision must pay into the local sales tax equalization account. If that political subdivision does not meet the requirements of statute and needs to come to the legislature for their tax approval, that share would be 20%, and that would be for any tax imposed after July 1, 2024. And then the last change would be the appropriation funding for the Office of the State Auditor to conduct the audits. Their specified amounts for fiscal years 2025 through 2027.
Moving on to line 8 of page 20 of the author's amendment, this would require that DOR regularly make taxpayer assistance and tax credit outreach grants rather than annually. Currently, DOR awards these grants every 2 years, so the language change in the amendment just switches out annually for regularly to match the way that these grants are already paid. And lastly, the final lines of the author's amendment, page 24, lines 9 and 10, would require an ordinance establishing a land value taxation district be adopted by a city by May 1st of the year prior to the year in which the district would take effect. And Madam Chair, that concludes the overview of the author's amendment.
Great. Thank you, everybody from House Research, for that overview. Representative Joy.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
One of the questions I have that concerns me a little bit is 4.11 to 4.30, page mm-hmm. 4 through that. Is the reporting going to go away? I think it's good transparency and good government that we continue to report when we're doing stuff like this. So I think the reporting should follow as long as we have this alive and going in the bill. So that's just my comment on that, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that, Representative Joy. This was just sort of something that was brought up very recently, and I kind of made a call on it, and maybe it's the wrong call, and so I'm open to us continuing to require that reporting. I did just want to kind of check in with counties, because when we originally passed this, it was just for 4 years, and so it was like kind of really important that we made sure that that we were getting regular reports. And I actually thought that our report that we got earlier this session was really helpful in understanding, you know, the ways that counties are using this aid. And so I'm certainly not opposed to requiring reports. I just want to make sure that the requirements of the reports aren't like taking a bunch of people's time away from actually like delivering the services and turning it into a report. But you and I should just, I'm going to have that conversation with the counties that I'm aware of that are some of the folks that came and talked to us. And I'm really open to putting that reporting back in as we move this bill forward, and we'll be taking it into conference. So so I really appreciate that feedback. Thank you, Representative Joy. Further discussion on the A8, Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I see that you've moved the date of the report from January to February in 1.15, mm-hmm. but the department had asked until July because they just feel like this report is going to take a lot of time to put together. So can I ask why you chose February what the department has to say about that?
Yeah, so originally the corporate tax base erosion study, we asked for it to come on January 1st because the idea was that we wanted it to be before the legislature in time for it to inform our work during our budget year next year. And so if it comes in July, then it really wouldn't, we'd be getting it kind of in the interim between our budget year and our policy year. And this is really a budgetary kind of issue. And so we moved it back a month, thinking that if we had it by February, it would still be useful during, for our work during the legislative session next year. I'll have another conversation with the department about this and see. I mean, because if this is an unrealistic timeline, then obviously the highest priority is ensuring that the work is done completely and in a rigorous way, not just its utility for our purposes. But, I think there's some question about what the timing should be then if it's not going to be in front of the legislature for the 2025 budget session. And because then would we be like getting something in the summer of 2025 that wouldn't really be relevant to our work for another year and a half? And then what happens kind of in that interim time? And by the time we're considering changes to some of these policy areas, is the information still relevant if a year and a half has elapsed? So I changed it to February to try to give them a little bit more time, but still, kind of maintain its utility for our purposes in 2025. But there's still time to change that, and we'll continue to talk to the department about it.
Thank you.
Is there any further discussion on the A8? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the A8, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. Motion carries. The A8 to the DE amendment, coded A24-0302, to House File 5247, is adopted. Moving on to further amendments. First up, we have the amendment that's coded A2, and Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment deletes on page 4, well, assuming it's the same, page 4 deletes section 4, which is the requiring the Department of Revenue to make the corporate franchise tax informational available online. A few notes about this. First off, I'm not an attorney, but I want to start off and say this is going to end up in litigation likely, and it's very likely not constitutional. And you can use the person argument, and is a corporation a person? We would never do this to a certain class of people. we're attempting to do this to a certain class of businesses. I think any time we're passing laws that we know are going to be litigated, that that's a mistake on behalf of, and we're not doing our duties. Should this pass in the short term, we would be the only state in the nation that requires this. I don't know what good it does. I don't know what the public purpose is. I mean, I'm well aware there are folks out there who think that, you know, companies shouldn't be privately owned. Even public companies necessarily shouldn't be owned through, as they are, through stocks and so on and privately. But that's not the reality of this economy or any economy across the 95% of the world. And where it's been tried, it's failed. Public companies' earnings, if they're public, they're already public, a public company. Their earnings are public. So something like this is going to seriously affect the competition that anyone that does business in Minnesota, it's going to really, really harm their competitive ability. Because the people that are going to be looking at this and the tax returns are going to be the competitors of these companies. You can tell a lot about what a business does, what their expenses are, what they're buying, everything from their tax return. And so this will severely harm Minnesota companies, not just Minnesota-based, but anyone that's doing business in Minnesota. And I think, you know, a significant chunk of our tax revenue obviously comes from private companies. The majority of us work for private companies. And why we would do something that so harms our companies makes no sense, something that we know is going to be litigated. So I would ask your support of this amendment, and Madam Chair, I ask for a roll call. Thank you.
Roll call being requested. There will be a roll call on the A2. Thank you, Representative Anderson. So corporations are not people. Corporations are chartered by the state, by the federal government. They are endowed with rights by the state, by the government. The inherent rights that human beings have to life, liberty, privacy are not endowed to us by the state. You are not an attorney. We did craft this bill, of course, with consultation of attorneys in our House Research Office. This is the first time I'm hearing about it being unconstitutional. I think there was some folks saying that because there is a federal law shielding information on a federal tax return, that because the starting point for the Minnesota corporate return takes information from the federal return, that it would be a violation of that federal law. But, you know, this is really about, you know, just being transparent about what amount of state taxes are paid. That's the intent. It's not the intent to share any information publicly that's on the federal return. If we legislated in such a way that we never did anything that would get us sued, we would do many, many way fewer things, because there are very well-resourced and well-lawyered up, you know, powerful interests that will sue about anything. So, you know, this is really about ensuring that we have information, just really simply. You know, Warren Buffett talks about how he has a lower tax rate than his secretary, and he says that's wrong. And we know that we have big corporations in this country that many of which pay zero federal income taxes, and I want to know if they pay any state income taxes. You know, when you have working people who are paying into our system, and who are, you know, when they're just kind of making like a person's salary, and then you have multi-billion-dollar corporations on the other hand that are not contributing to the public good in the same way at the same rate, then that's like information that we as policymakers should have. Because we're making decisions every day about, you know, what is the amount of tax that an individual is going to pay, that a family is going to pay, and that a giant corporation, multi-billion-dollar corporation is going to pay. This is not a punishment. The information that that the Department of Revenue would be putting up on a website from these returns would be actually like much less than what you have to put up publicly if you're a nonprofit, if you're a trade union, if you're a publicly traded corporation. So there's some federal disclosure that's required. And so, you know, I guess I understand, that certainly there are powerful interests that don't want us to do this, but, you know, I believe that this particular provision is in the interests of the people of Minnesota and in the interests of the taxpayer. And so for that reason, I would ask members to vote no on the A2. Thank you. Representative Anderson, any final thoughts before we move
to a final? Nonprofits and trade unions aren't competing with other nonprofits and trade unions, and businesses are. Businesses are competing against other businesses, and the ones that are successful survive, and the ones that aren't successful die and go bankrupt. And that's the beauty of the system, frankly, and that's what makes things better over time. And how we've sort of evolved, how capitalism has evolved over time. So they're very different than nonprofits and trade unions. But I think that we have passed, you know, we have done numerous mandates and additional taxes that we've passed over the last 15 months that really are hurting our businesses, and they're struggling. This is just sort of like the icing on the cake. And this could really have, you know, make businesses make the decision to just leave and not do business in Minnesota. Because it's clearly an attack, I think, on companies. And it's a successful attack. It harms them in their competitive environment. So I ask our members again to vote in favor of the amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Anderson. Roll call having been requested, Ms. Sabas will take the roll. Chair votes no.
Chair Gomez, no. Vice Chair Norris?
No.
Vice Chair Norris, no. Lead Davids?
Yes.
Lead Davids, yes. Representative Agbaje?
No.
Agbaje, no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Anderson, yes. Representative Brand?
No.
Brand, no. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, no.
Elkins, no. Representative Howard?
No.
Howard, no. Representative Joy?
Yes.
Joy, yes. Representative Kosnick?
Yes.
Kosnick, yes. Representative Lee?
No.
Lee, no. Representative Lislegarde?
No.
Lislegarde, no. Representative Olson B?
Yes.
Olson B, yes. Representative Olson L?
No.
Olson L, no. Representative Pinto?
No.
Pinto, no. Representative Robbins?
Yes.
Robbins, yes. Representative Smith?
No.
Smith, no. Representative Swidzinski?
Yes.
Swidzinski, yes. Representative Wiener?
Yes.
Wiener, yes. Representative Witte?
Yes.
Witte, yes. Representative Joachim?
No.
Joachim, no. Madam Chair, there being nine ayes and 12 nays.
There being nine ayes and 12 nays, the A2 amendment is not adopted. The next amendment is coded A4, and to Representative Wiener.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My amendment calls for the removal of the corporate tax study. This $655,000 study is linked to the combined worldwide mandatory reporting that, no offense, Rep. Howard, but went down in flames like the Hindenburg last year. With that being said, this puts our businesses in a really bad situation, extremely uncompetitive. When we're spending money, and goes through the other committees that I'm on, when we're trying to pull med tech industries into parts of our state, and then putting these corporations at a serious disadvantage where no other country is doing this right now, where we're putting undue burdens on them, and frankly, to give our governor a little bit of advice, you know, puts him in a pretty bad situation when he's trying to pull businesses into our state. So I call for the removal of this corporate tax, and even with the Department of Revenue in their testimony the other day said that, their inability to work with the deadlines and to spend the money on this, it seems counterproductive.
We're trying to make Minnesota a place in a state where we're pulling businesses in, but when we're creating an environment with tax structure that's driving them out, this does no good for us. So, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you,
Representative. Roll call vote. I'm sorry.
Roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call. So I would urge members to vote no on the A4. This is an issue. We had a whole presentation earlier in during session about what we see, what the trend is with respect to corporate profits and corporate taxes. And what we see is corporate profits going up and up and up and up and up, and corporate taxes leveling off, and kind of the trend line is that they are going down, they're decreasing. Now, if you go and ask your constituents, do you think it's a problem that we have some of the largest corporations in the world, multi-billion dollar corporations, who are paying no income taxes at all, while you pay 10, 15, 20% in 30% in income taxes? Because they're doing things like stashing their intellectual property overseas in low tax jurisdictions and then leasing it back to themselves. Ask your constituents, do you think this is a problem? Do you think that this, as the cost of everything we hear in our committee here all the time from our local government partners, and we all hear from our local governments about how the cost of everything's going up, cost of building things is going up, the cost of running programs is going up, and guess what else is going up? Corporate profits are going up, but corporate taxes are not going up in a commensurate way. Talk about the competitive disadvantage that puts people at. You guys are talking about competitive disadvantage. Well, my Main Street businesses, they don't have an accountant. They don't have intellectual property to hide in Barbados. They don't have an accountant that could do that even if they did have that intellectual property. So what our collective acceptance of this practice on behalf of the largest corporations in the world does is it puts our local businesses at a disadvantage, and it puts our taxpayers at a disadvantage, because more and more as those costs are going up, we're going to have to continue to bear them. And if we have corporations that are profiting off of those public investments, profiting off of our investment in infrastructure, in education, in healthcare for our people, in housing for our people, in having a good environment, in having a high quality of life here in Minnesota, and those corporations aren't contributing to that, that puts us all taxpayers, all individual taxpayers, and certainly all local Minnesota business taxpayers at a disadvantage. And so for that reason, I would ask for a no vote on the A4. Representative Weiner, back to you.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I think when our taxpayers see this study, and a $65,000 study, again, that combined with a bill, I'm sorry, $655,000 study, combined with a bill which would really put our businesses at that disadvantage. And we've seen a lot of studies like this take place, which really end up spending a lot of money. I think those small businesses, I think that average taxpayer is going to say, why are you wasting our money on another study that does nothing? I think that has a bigger impact on our small towns, our day-to-day operations. So I guess for the sake of the taxpayers in the state, for the sake of Bjorn Olson's blood pressure when it comes to studies, I ask for this approval.
Oh, I'm a yes then.
We'll go back to you if you want a last word, Representative Weiner, but Representative Howard just wanted to chime in on this one. Representative Howard.
I'll just be brief. Chair Gomez, wanted to state, again, this is a study. And so I'm just kind of amused by some of the we think we got a letter from some of the big corporations that really want to oppose the study, and just makes you wonder if they're worried what it's going to detail. All we're simply doing is trying to gather information here so that we as policymakers have all the facts. And so just interesting to me that they're so scared of a study. And then the only other comment, you know, we keep hearing from our friends on the other side about if we do this, businesses will flee. I just want to say again, I mean, how many times can the boy cry wolf on this? We just had an amazing jobs report here in Minnesota a couple days ago. Our economy, the fundamentals of it, especially for our corporations, are quite strong and growing. And just at some point, we have to sort of stop, you know, listening to the boy who cried wolf on this stuff. Thanks.
All right. Representative Weiner, any final thoughts before we move to a vote?
Once again, consider Bjorn's blood pressure.
Madam Speaker, my name was just dropped.
It wasn't Vogue.
It wasn't Vogue, Madam Chair.
Representative Bjorn.
Madam Chair, thank you for the opportunity to speak on this. I would remind the committee that the agency is going to absorb the $655,000 cost, so we'll move forward with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Seeing no further discussion on the A4, Ms. Savis, please take the roll. Gomez votes no.
Chair Gomez, no. Vice Chair Norris?
No.
Vice Chair Norris, no. Lead Davids?
Yes.
Lead Davids, yes. Representative Agbaje?
No.
Agbaje, no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Anderson, yes. Representative Brand?
No.
Brand, no. Representative Elkins?
No.
Elkins, no. Representative Howard?
No.
Howard, no. Representative Joy?
Yes, please.
Joy, yes. Representative Kosnick?
Yes.
Kosnick, yes. Representative Lee?
No.
Lee, no. Representative Lislegard?
No.
Lislegard, no. Representative Olson B?
Yes.
Yes. Representative Olson L?
No.
Olson L, no. Representative Pinto?
No.
Pinto, no. Representative Robbins?
Yes.
Robbins, yes. Representative Smith?
No.
Smith, no. Representative Swidzinski?
Yes. Yeah.
Swidzinski, yes. Representative Weiner?
Yes.
Weiner, yes. Representative Witte?
Yes.
Witte, yes. Representative Joachim?
No.
Joachim, no. Madam Chair, there being 9 ayes and 12 nays.
There being 9 ayes and 12 nays, the motion does not pass. The A4 is not adopted. Next amendment up is coded A3 to Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I'll move the A3. And if I could have nonpartisan staff kind of describe it. What it does is it decouples Minnesota from Section 530 of the IRS code. And if staff could just briefly describe it.
Mr. Klayman is approaching the microphone. To you, Mr. Klayman.
Madam Chair, members, so the A3 amendment just deletes the, the Section 530 provision that's in the tax bill that would have decoupled the state from the federal determination of those employment status determinations in the safe harbor. So.
Thank you, Mr. Klayman. Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate your support.
Excellent.
For a roll call.
Representative Davids has asked for a roll call. There will be a roll call. So I'll just speak briefly on this. Section 530 provides a permanent safe haven for employers who have been found to misclassify employees as independent contractors. And so it uses... Basically, it says if this is a common practice to misclassify employees as independent contractors in a certain industry, then an employer is not held accountable for that misclassification. And so every time a worker is misclassified, there is more of a cost that's put onto the public and taken off of the employer of that employee. It puts costs onto the individual employee, but also onto the public. Section 530 is not Minnesota law. It was adopted by Congress in 1979. It was intended to be a temporary one-year safe haven corresponding with changes that happened that year in federal employment law. Then it was sort of like extended for a few years, and eventually it was made permanent as part of a larger federal tax overhaul. We also, in Minnesota, we did not make an intentional policy choice about adopting Section 530. As we all know, we're a selective conformity state, and so we don't conform with every part of the Internal Revenue Code, only with selected provisions of it. In 2009, it was codified into Minnesota law, and the provision was incorporated into our law by way of a provision that just broadened the definition of the Internal Revenue Code in our state statutes to include any uncodified provisions in federal law. So it wasn't that like policymakers sat at a table like this, made a kind of reasoned decision about whether to conform with this particular safe haven that applies to employers who misclassify employees at the federal level. It was sort of just like something that went along with this larger change. So while it wasn't an intentional policy choice, It does have an impact on our ability in Minnesota to deter and prevent misclassification fraud. And this is an issue that is kind of, you know, becoming more and more something that, that we're stepping up to deal with. And so I would ask for a no vote on the A3. Is there any discussion before we go back to Representative Davids for some final thoughts? Seeing none, Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You covered that very well. I would just say that it is federal law. And as a tax committee, generally we try to conform to federal law, and I know we don't conform to anything, everything, but I really think we should here. So with that, I'd appreciate a yes vote.
Thank you. Roll call having been requested, Ms. Davis will take the roll. Gomez votes no.
Chair Gomez, no. Vice Chair Norris?
No.
Vice Chair Norris, no. Lead Davids?
Yes.
Lead Davids, yes. Representative Agbaje?
No.
Agbaje, no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Anderson, yes. Representative Brand?
No.
Brand, no. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, no.
Elkins, no. Representative Howard?
No.
Howard, no. Representative Joy?
Yes.
Joy, yes. Representative Kosnick?
Yes.
Kosnick, yes. Representative Lee?
No.
Lee, no. Representative Lislegard? Lislegard, no. Representative Olson B?
Yes.
Olson B, yes. Representative Olson L?
No.
Olson L, no. Representative Pinto?
No.
Pinto, no. Representative Robbins?
Yes.
Robbins, yes. Representative Smith?
No.
Smith, no. Representative Swidzinski?
Yes.
Swidzinski, yes. Representative Wiener?
Yes.
Wiener, yes. Representative Witte?
Yes.
Witte, yes. Representative Joachim?
No.
Joachim, no. Madam Chair, there being 9 ayes, 12 nays.
There being 9 ayes and 12 nays, the amendment is not adopted. The next amendment up is A7, and we'll go back to you, Lee Davids.
Thank you very much. Chair Gomez, I'd like to ask for roll call, please.
Roll call will be granted.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This one we do need to spend just a little bit of time on because as we're going through the tax bill with House Research on Wednesday, a couple things really stuck out to me here that I'm very, very concerned about. I go to page 54, line, so I move the A7 amendment. Page 54, 23, it says the uses listed are not subject to review or recommendation by the IRRRB. Now, that's extremely concerning to me. And I know in the past, last year, similar language was used for a much smaller expenditure and also for some schools, and that really didn't get much attention because I didn't really know of anybody that didn't support that. But I don't think that the IRRRB was involved in the projects that are here. Now, please correct me if I'm wrong. So we have a bonding committee. We have a bonding process. The bonding committee does GO bonds and revenue bonds. I really believe, Madam Chair, that this needs to be taken out so that the bonding committee can look at this. These are bonds. This is not supposed to be the bonding bill. This is the omnibus tax bill, not a bonding bill. And then I look through some of the provisions, and in the I guess I understand why it's here, because this would never make it through the bonding process, because fire departments, the tax bill is going to be funding fire departments. And let's not go down the road of this is Iron Range money. It's all, you know, from the Iron Range, from the Taconite tax. That's not true. I've been around here a couple of years, and I know that the state of Minnesota has put money into these funds in the past. 2000, when I was first commerce chair, the headlines, the first day I'm taking over as commerce chair said, LTV closes, 2,400 jobs lost, or something like that, whatever the number is. And so I went right up the range with Tomasoni Rukovina, and we sat down and said, what do you need? And they said they wanted the unemployment extended and they wanted training money. So that's what we did. But we also, the legislature put state money into those funds. So the argument that, oh, this is a slush fund for the Iron Range is not a correct statement. Community centers. Have we ever done before? Yes, we have. Do they cut most of those out? Yes, they do. Then I went into, there was some stuff with water, some WIF, sewer, so you got PFA and you got WIF. So what are we doing here? I've got communities that really need new sewers. They're out of compliance. They really need them. What does this do? it puts other ones ahead with really no, I mean, just do it. Just cut a check. So I don't think the IRRRB was involved in this process. I'm not sure where all these projects just came from. The other thing I noticed in, I think it was yesterday's hearing with the testimony, I saw lots of letters of support, so everybody can get their candy. They can get their projects, and that's wonderful. I'm into candy. I vote for bonding bills that have been vetted by the bonding committee. But I haven't seen a letter of support from the IRRRB, so then it begs the question, if the IRRRB is not involved, why do we have them? We could maybe have an amendment here that says get rid of the IRRRB because it is totally being circumvented. We're totally going around it. And as far as the transparency, so somebody said to me, they have to send a letter saying what they spent it on. That's a little late. That's a little late. We can have a letter saying what was spent on. We should also have that, but we should also have it vetted on the front end. So basically what I'm saying, I'm not saying get rid of all the bonding projects. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that we should require the IRRRB board to review and authorize the bonds authorized for 2024 and 2025. If they do it, God bless them. I go away, which would be very good for them. So I'm not getting rid of the bonding projects, the revenue bonds. I'm not doing that. And although I wish I should, because of fire departments, community centers, and WIF and PFA, that should be paid for in the way we have set it up over the years. So, members, I hope I can get your support on this one. We're not saying you can't do these things. In fact, I'm not even going there. The other issue is the extra money for property tax relief. I'm all in on that part of it. My other concern is I don't think we have the information. What does this do to the funds? If it doesn't work, then we go into the Doug Johnson Fund. What happens when that gets? The Doug Johnson Fund was set up so that the IRRRB could go get big projects. If they had a paper mill, or if they had an iron miner, if they had this or that, they could say, hey, we'll put $50 million in here, you put $500 million in here. Pretty good economic incentive. But to have community centers and playgrounds? I really don't think that's what this IRRRB is set up for. So by circumventing it, maybe we should consider just getting rid of it. Because if we can do this every time, what is the purpose of the IRRRB? Appreciate yes vote.
Excellent. So we're going to move to discussion on the A7. Representative Lissegard.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and to Representative Davids, you know how much I respect you. I think that you are an incredibly talented individual that cares deeply. I will just say that I agree to disagree. This has happened in 1985. It's happened in 1991. It's happened in 1996. It's happened in 2000. It happened in 2006. It's happened in 2013. And as you stated, in 2023. And if you look on line 54.18, you will see the commissioner of the Iron Range Resource and Rehabilitation must distribute these transfer these funds as outlined in this section. In order to receive the distribution, a recipient must submit to the commissioner a plan on how the distribution will be spent, and the commissioner must ensure that the plan matches all intended use outlined in this section. So there is oversight. They do have to submit the plan to the commissioner, and it has to meet the criteria laid out by them. And when you list all of these things, I just got to say that these are property taxes. They're production tax in lieu of property taxes. And so when you mention bonding, hopefully that some of these projects, they're using their own tax dollars to be able to fund them instead of coming to the state to ask for them. So what we're doing is allowing them to spend their own tax dollars, property tax dollars, to fund these projects. And I will note, and I expressed this yesterday, in my heart I believe that this is the right thing to do, because the two districts that we're referring to, and you've seen the testimony that was yesterday, they were, everyone spoke in favor, and a lot of them were outside my district. But you know what? Those two districts, they're the poorest. And those two districts are the ones that fund the IRRRB. And so the whole premise of what we're trying to do is to help the poorest communities, the poorest two Senate districts, which this is not Democrat or Republican. And you know that I don't play them games. This is about giving the money back to the people that need it most. And that's what this is. Senator Farnsworth, my senator, Republican, gets the most out of this because his district is the poorest. My district is the poorest. My district produces, if you break up 7A and 7B, my district produces the most, and I am the poorest. I represent the poorest people. And so instead of the money going other places, the whole intent is to help the people who need it most. So I would ask people not to support the amendment, but I respect you wholeheartedly, my friend.
Thank you, Representative Lissegaard. We'll go back to Representative Davids for some final thoughts. I did just want to note that Ms. Highmark sent us some information last night to Mr. Moyers and Mr. Haydorn, and we can make sure that Patrick will send it out to the whole committee, just about the issue that Representative Davids raised about the fund balances and the adequacy of the Iron Range School Consolidation and Cooperatively Operated School account, that's a mouthful, and the Douglas J. Johnson Economic Protection Trust Fund, and about their sufficiency to meet the commitments made in the bill. And so we'll just make sure that you get that information. But I'll go turn it back to Lead Davids.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And as you probably notice, the terms that you've been here, I'm kind of a stickler on process. And when we start bringing in bonding bills, the language, like I said, really hit me. Not subject to review or recommendation by the IRRB. Just, you know, we should probably have an amendment just to get rid of the IRRB because they're being circumvented. We're not going through them. All my amendment says is let the IRRB review and authorize the bonds. That's all we're saying in this amendment. I would also like the list of all the playgrounds and community centers and all these things to go through the bonding committee. That's why we have a bonding committee. And if the bonding committee says, yes, let's do these things, I'm probably there. I voted one time against a bonding bill in my 32 years, biggest mistake I ever made. I had 18 projects in it, and I got scared off by some guy back then named Jason Lewis, who was on the radio just ripping us. Oh, it was horrible. I was so scared. And come to find out, none of the stations in my district carry Jason Lewis. So I'll never forget that because 18 projects, and I went to the chairman and I said, I just can't vote for this bill. So Henry Kalis, God rest his soul, was a great guy. Biggest mistake I ever made. So he said, stop the copying. Stop the copying. Pull all of David's stuff out of there. And the staff says, we can't do that. We don't have time. The bill's up at 2 o'clock. And so that was a bad move. But, again, let's look at some process here. I'm not saying don't do these things. I'm saying let's have the IRRB review and authorize the bonds for 24-25. I think that's good public policy. I think it's being more transparent, and I'd appreciate a yes vote.
Thank you. Seeing no further discussion, Ms. Sabas will take the roll on the A7. Chair votes no.
Chair Gomez, no. Vice Chair Norris?
No.
Vice Chair Norris, no. Lead Davids?
Yes.
Lead Davids, yes. Representative Agbaje?
No.
Agbaje, no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Anderson, yes. Representative Brand?
No.
Brand, no. Representative Elkins?
Elkins, no.
Elkins, no. Representative Howard?
No.
Howard, no. Representative Joy?
Yes.
Joy, yes. Representative Kosnick?
Yes, please.
Kosnick, yes. Representative Lee?
No.
Lee, no. Representative Lissegaard?
No.
No. Representative Olsenby?
Yes.
Olsenby, yes. Representative Olsen L?
No.
Olsen L, no. Representative Pinto?
No.
Pinto, no. Representative Robbins?
Yes.
Robbins, yes. Representative Smith?
No.
Smith, no. Representative Swidzinski?
Yes.
Swidzinski, yes. Representative Wiener?
Yes.
Wiener, yes. Representative Witte?
Yes.
Witte, yes. Representative Joachim?
No.
Yuakim, no. Madam Chair, there being 9 ayes and 12 nays.
There being 9 ayes and 12 nays, the motion does not prevail, and the A7 amendment is not adopted. Up next, we have House File 4760 from Representative Swedzinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment is essentially my bill 4760 that allows local veterans organizations to have some property tax relief on certain types of buildings that they own and operate. You know, one of the biggest issues that we all know is that often veterans organizations not only provide a service just from their own actions and activities within districts, but they also really provide sometimes facilities in which the community could use. And because of the uniqueness of those types of community, those facilities, they are levied property taxes. And, you know, I know in my local community, and I'm sure in some of yours as well, those property taxes can be quite limiting when it comes to the amount of use that some of those facilities have. You know, that occasional wedding, that occasional community organization that comes in and does a fundraiser or whatever. And so there's a lot of cost being borne by these local organizations to provide a facility to use, not publicly owned, not publicly funded, privately funded, but really, really having a real public use. And that's what my amendment does, is essentially allow some of the tax relief that we give to other organizations within the state that provide a like service of community and physical place. The issue is that some of these facilities are used in a commercial process, and so they'll rent them out to a couple. If they're having a wedding, they'll rent them out and have some sort of reception, and that's really where the with, you know, the increased cost of electricity and the increased cost of heating and air conditioning, these facilities oftentimes are pretty tight. And this amendment just reflects some of the needs in some of our local communities when it comes to these veterans organizations. And I would ask that this be considered a friendly amendment by the committee and from a bipartisan standpoint, and so that we can have this conversation and move it so that we can talk about it in conference committee. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Swedzinski. Any other discussion on the amendment? All right. Roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call.
I don't know if, Madam Chair, if you're going to speak on behalf of it, I wasn't going to call for.
I won't be speaking on behalf of it, so we'll just go ahead with the roll call.
Nice try.
I didn't want to assume, Madam Chair.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It, so I wouldn't want to make assumptions. So he's supposed to move it?
Yeah, he's just moving
House File 4760. Oh. Could you just say I'm moving House File 4760 in the form of an amendment so we dot all our I's and cross?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I would like to move House File 4760 as an amendment before the House Tax Committee. Chair Gomez.
Thank you very much, Representative Swedzinski. I appreciate this bill, and I know that it does enjoy bipartisan support. It wasn't looked at in the property tax division. The concern with these is really just about the shift that it constitutes. I read that even if we just were looking at VFWs, we're talking about tens of millions of dollars of assessed tax value that we're shifting onto other taxpayers. And so, you know, when it is a case of a property tax shift, we just always have to proceed with caution. You know, I know that Chair Lissegaard and his division has been really careful about that, because we are seeing, you know, a lot of kind of fluctuations in valuation, whether it's in, you know, commercial, industrial, office space or retail space. After COVID, there's been a lot of volatility in those sectors. A lot of homeowners are seeing their valuations go up. And so every time we, provide a tax exemption, even to a very worthy set of businesses, and you know, there is like revenue creating activity happening at these businesses, then we're putting it on other taxpayers. And so, you know, we just are kind of trying to avoid doing that unless we're doing it in a really well kind of thought out manner. that kind of shifting property taxes within the levy, as I said, I mean, it has an impact on other homeowners, on other business owners. And so for those reasons, I would ask for a no vote on the amendment. Is there any Representative Olsonby?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I truly appreciate the concept of making sure we adjust fire and understand the shift that we're going to be in putting on other individuals. You know, I was recently talking with one of my veteran organizations, and they said that they get a slight rebate on their property taxes if they donate money in excess of what their tax liability is. That's about $300 is what they get in a rebate. So the amount of good that these organizations are providing to their communities, you know, when we were discussing the e-pull tabs and the electronic pull tab conversation in years past, I think I listed off an individual's legion and all the great things that they were doing and the tens of thousands of dollars that they were donating back into the community on a yearly basis. So I think that if we don't choose to fully exempt these properties, I think we need to absolutely look into the future of exempting a little bit more than $300. That's almost nothing when you're talking about how much good they are doing. You know, I could sit here and list off all the great things that they're doing with their fire departments, and they're buying radios for ambulance services, and they're doing really good stuff as an organization. And so if we're not going to do it today, I would ask that, you know, we continue to look at a solution into the future, and potentially it doesn't have to be fully exempted, but doing more than just $300 would be a really great thing to say thank you to those charitable organizations for the good that they do.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Representative Lissegarde.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative. I totally agree, and I would look forward to working with you in the future to see how we can continue to help.
All right. Thank you, Chair Lissegarde. Representative Swedzinski, any final thoughts? Okay, we'll just move. Representative Swedzinski has moved House File 4760 in the form of an amendment, and a roll call has been requested. Ms. Sabus will take the roll. Chair votes no.
Chair Gomez, no. Vice Chair Norris?
No.
Vice Chair Norris, no. Lead Davids?
Yes.
Lead Davids, yes. Representative Agbaje?
No.
Agbaje, no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Anderson, yes. Representative Brand?
No.
Brand, no. Representative Elkins?
No.
Elkins, no. Representative Howard?
No.
Howard, no. Representative Joy?
Yes.
Joy, yes. Representative Kosnick?
Yes, please.
Kosnick, yes. Representative Lee?
No.
Lee, no. Representative Lissegarde?
No.
Lissegarde, no. Representative Olsonby?
Yes.
Olsonby, yes. Representative Olson L?
No.
Olson L, no. Representative Pinto?
No.
Pinto, no. Representative Robbins? Robbins, yes. Representative Smith?
No.
Smith, no. Representative Swedzinski?
Yes.
Swedzinski, yes. Representative Wiener?
Yes.
Wiener, yes. Representative Witte?
Yes.
Witte, yes. Representative Joachim?
No.
Joachim, no. Madam Chair, there being 9 ayes and 12 nays.
There being 9 ayes and 12 nays, the motion does not pass and the amendment is not adopted. All right, up next, Representative Olson. We have House File 3505. Representative Olson, would you like to move House File 3505 as an amendment to the
Yes, please, Madam Chair. Thank you. I'd like to move that amendment.
Excellent. So Representative Olson has moved his amendment to your amendment, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this amendment is one that we've seen running around the halls of this institution for quite some time. What this would do is it would increase the market value exemption for disabled veterans. So in 2008, the state of Minnesota adopted an exemption for property taxes saying any individual who is 70% disabled with the VA receives a $150,000 market value exclusion. And then if you're 100% disabled, you receive $300,000 in a market exemption on your property taxes. Now, that was in 2008. So this is a long time ago, members, and I think, I'm not an assessor, but I would venture a guess that property values have increased since 2008. I would make that as probably a safe bet. Now, I'd like to just talk a little bit about the value and the reason why this is important. I know a soldier who was in Iraq in 2007 and 2008. He was a gunner on an armored truck, and he, over a 9-month period of time, conducted 428 missions in a nine-month period of time. He was up at the top of that truck, and they were driving down the road and through an alleyway. One of his buddies inside the vehicle saw a tripwire, quickly grabbed him and pulled him down as a rocket exploded the cupola, that top cage where he was at, completely destroyed it. This soldier woke up in Germany and is 90% disabled by the VA. So this individual was blown up. And because he still had all of his limbs, he was 90% disabled. Now, if you look at the VA disability rate for someone who's 90% disabled, it's about $2,000 a month. This soldier has been fighting in Iraq for the last 20 years. Some real tough days that this individual has been undergoing. I know that, or I would venture a guess that no one in this room, no one at this table understands those types of sacrifices. They've not been asked to do that for their nation. They've not been asked to do that for their state, or at least they haven't volunteered to do so, right? So this is one of those things where if we're going to talk about shifting property taxes, asking other people to sacrifice a little bit, I think this is an absolutely valid and a very worthwhile thing to do, to shift that sacrifice a little bit for those who have sacrificed so much for us. Now, we've seen property taxes increase drastically in the last couple of years. And what we've also seen is a slight increase in the disability rate that soldiers are receiving, that these veterans are receiving. So just for your information, an individual who is 10% disabled will see a $6 increase in their disability from last year to this year. $6. Now, someone who's 100% disabled will receive $100 more in their disability off of last year. Now, I think that many of us have seen our property taxes increase by more than $100. And I think that that is why it is far past time that we get this done, that we increase this exemption to a reasonable rate, because the disability is not increasing at a rate that follows suit with the property taxes. And so I would ask everyone, and also I was also informed that this is about a $720,000 savings to the state of Minnesota. So it's a cost savings for the state, although it is a shifting of the tax burden on everyone else. It's a shift. So the levy stays the same, just the people who pay it are going to be affected minorly for this. And I, for one, would be happy to see my own personal property taxes increase slightly as a result of this, if it means that a hero doesn't have to pay it. So, Madam Chair, I request a roll call on this, and I would request adamantly, and I would very much appreciate a yes vote on this.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Roll call has been requested, so there will be a roll call. I would ask members to vote against this provision, kind of for similar reasons to the last one. This is a really significant shift, and it's certainly not to, you know, I appreciate you sharing that story about the veteran in Iraq with the committee, and it's not to, you know, devalue that sacrifice that person made, or any of the people who are able to claim the disabled veteran homestead exclusion currently. The Department of Revenue does estimate that in 2022, this exclusion was around a $4.3 billion shift onto other taxpayers across the state of Minnesota. And in some communities, that doesn't make a huge difference. In other communities where you know, where they have large amounts of government exempt property and there are a lot of disabled veterans, you know, the cities are struggling to pay for basic city services when there's these huge shifts. You know, there's the example I think was brought up in the Veterans Committee of Moose Lake, where there is there's a prison and there happens to be a lot of veterans there, and there's been big shifts due to the kind of this increasing over time. And so much of their property tax base has been shifted that the pressures on city and county budgets out there are just really profound. The other piece that, you know, is important to talk about is, you may know, like, kind of the way that, renters versus homestead property owners are treated is different under our property tax system. And so, you know, unintentionally, I think that this, you know, an effort like this, which is, you know, for those folks who are lucky enough to own their home, there are plenty of disabled veterans who are living in rental housing right now. And those are some of our lowest income veterans. And they, not only do they, would they not benefit from this this homestead exclusion, you know, because of that shift, because that $4.5 billion is across the states being shifted onto other categories of property within the levy, that this would increase those lowest income disabled veterans' property tax burden. So, again, I appreciate this effort, and you know, I think that there's a need to have more conversations about what, like, the right kind of policy tool is to address the you know, the property tax burden kind of that is borne by these disabled veterans. But today I would ask for a no vote. Is there, before we go back to Representative Olson, is there any further discussion from other members of the committee on this amendment? Not seeing any. Representative Olson.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just like to leave you with this idea that in order to become 70% disabled through the VA, you know, that's a substantial injury. It's a substantial sacrifice that individual has made, and that is a lasting injury that individual, you know, they didn't just trip and fall down the stairs. They suffered serious and lasting injuries, and it hinders their ability to earn money. It hinders their ability to work in the private sector or in the public sector or in the economy in general. And when we are raising property taxes higher than they can afford based off of their cost of living adjustment, I think that's a real, real problem. We don't understand the sacrifices that they have made. These injuries are long-lasting, and they deserve a little sacrifice from us. When you're talking about spreading, this doesn't, you know, I was a small-town mayor. I know how the levy works. You set it at a rate, and the people who pay it based off of their property values. I understand how that works. And when one person becomes exempt or a property falls off the tax base and becomes forfeit, yeah, it's a struggle. It's a struggle because that just, everyone else sees theirs go up. These individuals need to be taken care of because they took care of us. So I'd ask once more for a yes vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Olson. Roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call. Gomez votes no.
Chair Gomez, no. Vice Chair Norris?
No.
Vice Chair Norris, no. Lead Davids?
Yes.
Lead Davids, yes. Representative Agbaje?
No.
Agbaje, no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Anderson, yes. Representative Brand?
No.
Brand, no. Representative Elkins?
No.
Elkins, no. Representative Howard?
No.
Howard, no. Representative Joy?
Yes.
Joy, yes. Representative Kosnick?
Yes.
Kosnick, yes. Representative Lee? No. Lee, no. Representative Lislegard? Lislegard, no. Representative Olson B.
Yes.
Olson B, yes. Representative Olson L.
No.
Olson L, no. Representative Pinto.
No.
Pinto, no. Representative Robbins.
Yes.
Robbins, yes. Representative Smith.
No.
Smith, no. Representative Swedzinski.
Yep.
Swedzinski, yes. Representative Wiener.
Yes.
Wiener, yes. Representative Witte.
Yes.
Witte, yes. Representative Joachim.
No.
Joachim, no. Madam Chair, there being 9 ayes and 12 nays.
There being 9 ayes and 12 nays, the motion does not prevail, and House File 3505 in the form of an amendment to the DE is not adopted. Next up, we have House File 4086 in the form of an amendment to the DE from Representative Robbins. Would you like to move your amendment?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Representative Robbins has moved the House File 4086 in the form of an amendment to the DE to your amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I am bringing forward House File 4086, which is a Representative Lislegard bill. And what it does is it allows veterans groups to use the proceeds from charitable gambling to make improvements on their properties. And I had a similar bill. Mine was House File 278, but it never was able to get a hearing. I've carried that bill for 4 years now. And so I thought I'd give it a try with Representative Listlegard's bill, because maybe that will garner some support from my colleagues. And this is another important issue for veterans groups members. So in my district, we have the Osseo Maple Grove Legion, the Maple Plain Legion, and the Hamel VFW. All of these are very small and older buildings in serious disrepair. Some need roof repairs. One would really like to install a security system because they've been robbed a couple times. And they are looking for an opportunity to just use the gambling proceeds that they have. And instead of paying, they pay so much tax into the state, and just take a small portion of that and use it just for building repairs. And I don't understand the opposition, honestly. As Ms. Temblin told me just before we started the committee hearing, there is no cost to this. This is just allowing them to use their own money to repair their buildings. So members, we've had a lot of discussions about veterans and how important they are in our communities. And these places they gather are incredibly important. This is where they can go and support each other, have fun, hang out. I personally like to go to the Hamel VFW because they have line dancing and swing dancing, and it's a really fun place in my community to go. And so I really encourage members to allow this to go through. It's been many years we've been working for this. There's nothing that this tax committee is apparently doing for veterans this session, so this would be a small way to show our support for them and for the gratefulness for all they do in charitable giving in our communities. Thank you, members.
Thank you. Further discussion on the amendment? Chair Listlegard?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to Representative Robbins, everything that you said is 100%. I support it wholeheartedly. I'm excited that it is carrying in the sports betting bill. So please, everyone, support that, because there's a lot of good stuff in there that is going to help our veterans and stuff like that. So while the range doesn't have swing dancing and line dancing, our American Legion still does have a good time. So.
All right. Representative Robbins, any final thoughts?
Yes, Madam Chair. And I appreciate your support, Chair Listlegard, and I appreciate the idea, this can wait for the sports betting bill. But members, it cannot. I would say, I'm not a bettor, so I shouldn't throw some odds out there, but I would say it's not clear the sports betting bill is going to make it over the finish line this year. And if it doesn't, this is going to fall apart again. And so we have the opportunity to do something now today for veterans that literally has no fiscal impact. So why don't we do that now? And then whatever happens to sports betting happens, but we know we have taken care of veterans. So please vote yes. I request a roll call. Thank you.
All right. Roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call. Representative Robbins is going to renew her motion that House File 4086 in the form of an amendment to the DE be adopted. Ms. Sabas will take the roll. Chair votes no.
Chair Gomez, no. Vice Chair Norris?
No.
Vice Chair Norris, no. Lee Davids?
Yes.
Lee Davids, yes. Representative Agbaje?
No.
Agbaje, no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Anderson, yes. Representative Brand?
No.
Brand, no. Representative Elkins?
No.
Elkins, no. Representative Howard?
No.
Howard, no. Representative Joy?
Yes.
Joy, yes. Representative Kosnick?
Yes.
Kosnick, yes. Representative Lee?
No.
Lee, no. Representative Listlegard?
No.
Listlegard, no. Representative Olson B?
Yes.
Olson B, yes. Representative Olson L?
No.
Olson L, no. Representative Pinto?
No.
Pinto, no. Representative Robbins?
Yes.
Robbins, yes. Representative Smith?
No.
Smith, no. Representative Swidzinski?
Yep.
Swidzinski, yes. Representative Wiener?
Yes.
Wiener, yes. Representative Witte?
Yes.
Witte, yes. Representative Joachim?
No.
Joachim, no. Madam Chair, there being 9 ayes and 12 nays.
There being 9 ayes and 12 nays, the motion does not prevail, and House File 4086 in the form of an amendment is not adopted. Next up, we have House File 4934 in the form of an amendment from Representative Davids. Would you like to move your amendment?
So moved, Madam Chair, and I just think I can just feel it. We're going to end on a high note here. This is one
You know, I do a lot of retirement planning, and I don't use this term anymore because it kind of got me in trouble. I was meeting with a couple doctors in Rochester, and I laid out the perfect plan for them. I said it's kind of a no-brainer, and they didn't get it. So you saw some really quick backpedaling, and I did recover. That being said, this would fit in the category of no-brainer. And I thank Representative Norris for bringing this and having this heard. And when we're going through the bill, I couldn't believe that this wasn't in there. I couldn't believe it. And I'm sure it's just an oversight, and we can just put it on here, and life is good. That being said, what the amendment does, it says the Commissioner of Revenue would be bound by tax court opinions. No brainer. I mean, I was stunned some years ago to find out that they weren't following the tax court. I mean, it was just stunning to me. And I don't know if other agencies, education, human services, I don't know if they ignore court rulings. But if you or I did this, Madam Chair, we'd be in jail. We would be, because you can't just ignore the tax court. We had a great hearing on the Norris bill. I don't know of anyone that was opposed to it. I don't think the department's opposed to it. I'm sure they're neutral, but I don't think they're opposed. In fact, former Chair Marquardt, Commissioner Marquardt, was very clear that he was embarrassed by the findings that the Department of Revenue was not going by tax court ruling. So let's end her on a high note today. If the chair will accept it. It's a great bill. It's a great bill. Two wonderful authors. Can't think of any better. So let's pass the Norris, or the Davids Amendment, which was the Norris bill. And, Madam Chair, if we're going to have our Department of Revenue sitting out there not abiding by tax court rulings, you know, let's just give one to the team here.
Thank you, Lee Davids. Further discussion to the amendment, Representative Norris.
Thank you, Chair Gomez, and thank you, Lee David, for those kind remarks and for kindly serving as a co-author on this bill. I agree with you that the need to do something about this is a no-brainer. The challenge is figuring out the exact language in terms of how we should go about dealing with it. I've been having ongoing discussions since we had the hearing with the Department of Revenue, with the CPAs and the tax court, and I think everybody agrees on the need for transparency around whether, you know, the Department of Revenue is how the Department of Revenue is interpreting these tax court decisions. I think where there's still some work that needs to be done is on figuring out how best to accomplish that. We've also been looking back into the legislative history all the way back to 1939. So the conversations with the stakeholders are continuing. We're not at a place yet. I know this language in particular that's in front of us, the tax court does have some concerns with this particular language. So, you know, the language just wasn't to a point yet where we felt comfortable including it in the bill as the House's position going into conference committee. But I'm going to be continuing to work on this. Would welcome your partnership on that continued work. And it's my hope that we haven't heard the end of this yet this year. But for now, I'm going to recommend a no vote.
Thank you, Vice Chair Norris. Is there any further discussion before we go back to Representative Davids for some final thoughts? Seeing none, Lee Davids, back to you.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I've been around the block a few times around here, and I have found that if you put it in the bill, you'll have a lot more discussion. That will push it. And I really think, Madam Chair and members, we should put this in there. And yes, the discussion can continue. And if there's things that need to be changed, guess what? We can change them. We can do that. But let's get it in the bill so the discussion continues, because I got a feeling around this place we're going to get really super busy, and it's just going to go away. And that would be a shame. So, Madam Chair, I'd like a roll call.
Roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call. And so Representative Davids is going to renew his motion that House File 4934 in the form of an amendment be adopted. Ms. Sabas will take the roll in a moment. Take your time. Chair votes no.
Chair Gomez, no. Vice Chair Norris.
No.
Vice Chair Norris, no. Lead Davids?
Yes.
Lead Davids, yes. Representative Agbaje? Agbaje, no. Representative Anderson?
Yes.
Anderson, yes. Representative Brand?
No.
Brand, no. Representative Elkins?
No.
Elkins, no. Representative Howard?
No.
Howard, no. Representative Joy?
Yes.
Joy, yes. Representative Kosnick?
Yes.
Kosnick, yes. Representative Lee?
No.
Lee, no. Representative Lislegard?
No.
Lislegard, no. Representative Olson B?
Yes.
Olson B, yes. Representative Olson L?
No.
Olson L, no. Representative Pinto?
No.
Pinto, no. Representative Robbins?
Yes.
Robbins, yes. Representative Smith?
No.
Smith, no. Representative Swidzinski?
Yes.
Swidzinski, yes. Representative Wiener?
Yes.
Wiener, yes. Representative Witte?
Yes.
Witte, yes. Representative Joachim?
No.
Joachim, no. Madam Chair, there being 9 ayes and 12 nays.
There being 9 ayes and 12 nays, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. That completes the amendments that we have in front of us, so we're going to revert to the DE. I would move that the DE amendment coded A24-0302 be adopted. Is there a discussion on the motion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No?
No.
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 The motion passes and the DE amendment is adopted. All right, so okay, so with that, I'm going to, or do I make the motion? Okay, sorry. It's a lot of motions today. We're not used to that in tax committee. We just lay everything over. So I'm going to renew my motion that House File 5247 as amended be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee and that staff make any technical adjustments necessary to the bill language and to the spreadsheet to reflect the intent of the Taxes Committee. Is there any discussion on the motion? Representative Davids.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. One question I would have for nonpartisan. With no income tax limits on the minimum child tax credit, which is a big part of this bill, could they be subject to taxation? Or would that not be taxable?
So I think we're referring to the whether it falls under the general welfare clause. Mr. Klayman, do you want to come up and say a couple things about that? So I will just note that part of the author's amendment, you'll see it on lines 1.7 to 1.12, just explicitly states that taxpayers must meet the income requirements of the underlying child tax credit in order to qualify for the safe harbor for periodic advance payments. And so that was sort of some language that we added when this concern was brought up. Overall, the child tax credit is means tested, which is generally what is necessary to qualify under the general welfare exemption, but I'll pass it over to House Research for additional thoughts.
Sure. So, Madam Chair and Representative Davids, the general welfare exclusion is an IRS administrative doctrine that holds that there are three criteria for it, but one of the most, the most debated criteria is the need-based requirement. So, typically, if there's to be excluded under the general welfare exclusion, a provision has to be essentially need-based, meaning there has to be some measure of individual need as determined by the income level of the recipient in order to qualify for the exclusion. It hasn't always been that way, but that's how it is now. And so the question then would come in with the child credit as it's amended in the tax bill is, you know, because the underlying credit is a need-based determination, the question comes in is if the credit goes out in a subsequent year based on a prior year's assessment of need, but in the year that it goes out, if that individual's income exceeds the limit by which they could qualify for that, would that necessarily violate the general welfare exclusion? I think it's pretty typical for a lot of benefits to be based on a prior year's income. But I think that's kind of the scope of the question. And because the general welfare exclusion, it's an IRS administrative doctrine, so there's not a statute and there's not a set of treasury regulations for it. It can be very difficult to figure out that. It can be pretty difficult to predict exactly what the IRS is going to do. But so I think that's kind of the range of questions. I think the theory of the child credit as it's amended in the tax bill is that, you know, it would still be means tested. It would still be needs based because it's based on the prior year's taxes. And I think I'd also mention too that that the Internal Revenue Service, the Commissioner of Internal Revenue Service, did say that the rebate checks were taxable because the income thresholds that were used on those, the phase outs, were too high. So that is something that the Commissioner of the IRS told the state. So some more background for how the IRS might determine that. So apologize for not being able to provide a more straight answer on that, but I think that's the range of issues.
Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And so that was a very clear maybe.
Right. Since it's not our decision, there is some determination that's sure. left up to the interpretation mm-hmm. of the administrative decision at the IRS level.
But thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right. Is there any further discussion on the bill? All right. Seeing none, I'm going to.
It's okay.
Oh, sorry.
It's okay.
Okay. We'll have more chance to talk about it on the floor. Yeah, don't worry. I'm sure everybody's saving all the good stuff for the floor. So with that, I'm going to renew my motion that House File 5247, as amended, be re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee, and that staff make any technical adjustments necessary to the bill language and to the spreadsheet to reflect the intent of the Taxes Committee. All those in favor,
Madam
please.
Chair, I asked for roll call.
All right. Roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call. So Ms. Sabas will take the roll. Chair votes aye.
Chair Gomez, aye. Vice Chair Norris.
Aye.
Vice Chair Norris, aye. Minority Lee Davids.
No.
Lee Davids, no. Representative Agbaje. Agbaje, yes. Representative Anderson.
No.
Anderson, no. Representative Brand.
Yes.
Brand, yes. Representative Elkins.
Yes.
Elkins, yes. Representative Howard.
Yes.
Howard, yes. Representative Joy.
No.
Joy, no. Representative Kosnick.
No.
Kosnick, no. Representative Lee. Lee, yes. Representative Listlegard.
Yes.
Listlegard, yes. Representative Olson B.
No.
Olson B, no. Representative Olson L.
Yes.
Olson L, yes. Representative Pinto.
Yes.
Pinto, yes. Representative Robbins.
Yes.
Robbins.
Oh, no. Sorry, I'm just
Representative Robbins,
presence.
No.
We got you.
Representative Smith.
I do vote yes.
Smith, yes. Representative Swidzinski.
No.
Swidzinski, no. Representative Wiener.
No.
Wiener, no. Representative Witte.
No.
Witte, no. Representative Joachim.
Yes.
Joachim, yes. Madam Chair, there being 12 ayes and 9 nays.
There being 12 ayes and 9 nays, the motion is adopted, and House File 5247, as amended, is re-referred to the Ways and Means Committee. All right, so next up on our agenda, we're going to hear the education bill. Chair Joachim, welcome to your committee. As you're moving up there, you can decide if you would like to move your bill, House File 5237, the first engrossment, to the Ways and Means Committee?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would like to move the bill before the committee.
Excellent. Chair Joachim has moved her bill. And Chair Joachim, to your bill.
Thank you, members. The bill before you is the House Education Finance Bill that builds on the investments we made in our public schools last session. It strives to put more teachers in our classrooms, keep more of our students in our classrooms, and bring students' voices to the table when we're making decisions at the legislature. The bill before you today also is here because of levy interactions of the voluntary pre-K kindergarten program. In last year's education bill, money was allotted to increase VPK seats throughout the state. In this year's bill, we distribute those 2020 funds,
And in House File 5237, you will find the VPK program changes that impact levies in Articles 1, Sections 6, 10, and 13, Article 2, Sections 12, 5, and Article 2, Sections 12, Article 5, Sections 11, Article 8, Section 2, and Article 10, Section 1. The House Education Finance Committee has a zero levy target because we're not the property tax or tax committee, so we cannot raise folks' taxes. So on lines 42 and 43 of the House Education Finance spreadsheet labeled change only, you will see that the Education Finance Committee, we offset the levy impact. Because of this buy down, on line 14 of the spreadsheet labeled levy change only, you'll see the final zero levy cost that is also reflected in the revenue note that you have. But I have Sylvain Beckel here that understands this even better than I do, and our House who's our House Education Fiscal Analyst, for any further clarifying questions.
Excellent. Okay, so moving now to discussion on the bill, Representative Swedzinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Yuhkeem, would you be willing to go through all the policy, education policy that's in this bill before the committee? Thank you, Madam Chair.
He's out of order.
Representative Davids thinks you're out of order, for the record. All right, is there any further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
I'll just be brief. There is a lot of, there is less policy in the bill than last year, that's for sure. But there is some policy in here. I think generally the committee, our side of the aisle, there were things in here that we loved and things in here that we didn't love at all. So, and we'll talk about them when this gets on the floor. So the finance provisions are pretty explanatory. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Representative Anderson. Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Chair Yuhkeem, any final thoughts for us?
No, just members, thank you for your time and attention today. I know it's already been a long morning for many of you. And Representative Anderson's right, we had some great discussions in the committee. And I would like to move this bill forward to Ways and Means. Thank you.
Excellent. So with that, Chair Yuhkeem is going to renew her motion that House File 5237, the first engrossment, be re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, please say no.
No.
The motion is adopted, and House File 5237, the first engrossment, is on its way to Ways and Means. Thank you very much, Chair Yuhkeem. All right, so that brings us to the end of our agenda for today. So this isn't exactly our last meeting because we have a couple of stragglers that we're gonna have to call the team back together. I'm not exactly sure on the timing for that, so we'll just have to be in touch about that, but I just want to say some quick thank yous before we adjourn. I think today's conversation was really like indicative of the way that this committee has gone, in that we were able to, you know, have respectful just discourse about things that we don't necessarily agree on, but that everybody maintained their respect for one another. And you know, I think that we owe a lot of that to Lee Davids and to his leadership on the committee, and I'm really, really grateful to you for the way that you have just conducted this committee on your side, and the kindness that you've shown me, and being nice enough to correct me when I'm not like actually making the motions in a nice way. So thank you, I appreciate it. Thank you to Vice Chair Norris, and thank you to everybody on the committee for all of your contributions to these conversations. Tax Committee, of course, is the best committee. It's where we get to have, you know, meaty conversations about things that really impact people's lives, and so I'm really grateful for everybody's participation. We have wonderful pages that keep everything moving. The Property Tax Division page, Alec Sans Chagrin, and Joe, our page, Joe Schatz, there you are, hi. Thank you so much. Thanks to Commissioner Marquardt and to Joanna Bears and to all of our staff. Of course, thank you so much to our House researchers, to Jared Swanson, Sean Williams, Chris Klayman, Alex Hagler. I realized no matter how ridiculous or dumb our idea, you have to be kind and just go down the rabbit hole with us, and we do appreciate you for it. Thank you so much. to our fiscal analysts, Cynthia Templin, of course, and Katrina, who's new to our team, Katrina Highmark. Just you guys are just wonderful, and you do so much to support us. An excellent first session, Katrina. Thank you so much. To our revisers, who I always think of the revisers as existing up in the clouds on the seventh floor of the SOB, but Maureen, Sandy, and Evan Powell come to our meetings and know the tax code in and out and are wonderful part of this team and make everything happen. Finally, to our partisan staff, to our researchers, Sean Haydorn and Sam Moyer, we, all of our members, we all rely on you guys so much. We just really appreciate also your accommodation of our sometimes good, sometimes bad ideas, and just your guidance and all the information that you share with us. And these two on either side of me that keep the committee going, our CLA, Lauren Sabas, and our committee administrator, Patrick McQuillan, just you guys do an exceptional job and go above and beyond to support us as members and to support our committee. And I am deeply grateful. And so with that, again, we'll just Representative Davids, did you have any thoughts?
I do.
I'm sure you want to say ditto to all the things I just said, but what else you got?
Well, there's that. There's that. No, I just want to make a couple comments.
Yeah, please.
I just really wanted the last word once. That's really what I wanted. But, no, I do ditto everything you said. I agree with everything you said. We have amazing staff, partisan, nonpartisan, fiscal, research. I worked with a lot of very talented folks, whether it be House Research or Fiscal or whatever, in the past. And I called one of them, and I think it was my 2017 tax bill. We had such great staff. I called it the dream team. Remember that, Cynthia? I think you're the only one of the dream team left here. It was the dream team, but you know, I think we have dream team too.
I really do.
And so I really appreciate the demeanor of this committee. We can disagree without being disagreeable. And I want to thank you, Madam Chair, for the way you've conducted the committee, and I just really appreciate it, and I think I speak for all the members.
Thank you so much, Lee Davids. So there being nothing else for the good of the order, like I said, we'll be in touch. We'll be back in this room. Don't you worry before too long. But with that, we are adjourned.